This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Last week, Prime Minister Najib Razak hosted Saudi King Salman for his official visit to Malaysia to strengthen diplomatic ties between the two countries, citing terrorism and investment matters as their major concerns. The diplomatic relations between Malaysia and Saudi Arabia has been established ever since 50 years ago. In 1970, King Faisal made his first royal visit to Malaysia, hosted by Tunku Abdul Rahman. Since then, relations between the two countries have been mutually beneficial. Salina Salim is an Associate Research Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, focusing on political issues in the Middle East and Southeast Asia. She lays down the history of the diplomatic relations between the two countries.
Formal diplomatic relations were established in 1961, but the engagement between the two countries really took off in the 1970s. So at that time, the Malaysian leaders were keen on developing ties with Saudi Arabia for primarily financial reasons. So during this period, there was an increased level of engagement between the two countries that set the tone for the bilateral relations for the 1970s and for most of the 1980s. So during this period, Saudi financial assistance has two main dimensions to it. First, the financial assistance was used to support Malaysia's economic development. Secondly, it was also used to help build religious institutions and to help support dawah activities, that is, spreading the message of Islam. So the latter form of support became an instrumental foreign policy objective for Saudi Arabia when it came to dealings with Sunni Muslim majority countries. For example, the Saudis viewed giving donations for religious institutions as a tool to help spread Saudi soft power influence. So this approach became even more important to the Saudis after the Iranian Revolution in 1979, which gathered a lot of Sunni admirers who were drawn to the notion of a pan-Islamic revolution. And Saudis perceived this as an ideological and political challenge.
Malaysia's relations with Saudi Arabia has shifted from being dependent on their financial assistance to trading partners during Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's administration.
This changed, I would say, in the 1980s through Mahathir-led initiative to reduce Malaysia's over-dependence on Saudi financial assistance for development projects. So since like towards the end of the 1980s and onwards, there was more bilateral trade engagement between the two countries. So from the 1980s, the end of 1980s, the 1990s, Saudi-Malaysian companies, they pursued and secured business and development projects in Saudi Arabia itself. Plus also the bilateral trade increased significantly. In the early 1990s, it was around $250 million. Last year, it rose up to about $3.2 billion. So, it's been beneficial for Malaysia as well.
Saudi state media and the royal court have portrayed the recent trip to Asia as primarily concerned with strengthening economic relations. According to Salina, this is part of the Saudi government and national transformation plan.
So the primary objective of this visit is, of course, to boost economic and investment ties in the Asian region. So from the Saudi perspective, they have reasons for doing this. I mean, for the past 2.5 years, the prolonged oil price slump, plus their spending in various conflicts in the Middle East, coming at a time when there is a global economic slowdown, have been an overall drain on their financial resources. So in response, the Saudi have been making longer-term plans on boosting and diversifying its economy. They want to be less dependent on oil as the sole source of income. So you can view this visit to this region as part of this larger economic plan. So it's important to note here that Malaysia's economic development and its status as a moderate and open Muslim nation is viewed as a development success story in the Middle East. The Saudis recognize that Malaysia has made progress in various downstream industries, such as mining, industrial production. And the Malaysians also have expertise in other areas, such as the halal food industry, Islamic financial services, that they would like to leverage upon. One other point is that they also perceive cooperation with countries like Malaysia, in education, science and technology, advanced research, as ways to reduce the intellectual gap with Iran, which Saudis perceive as a regional competitor. So this is one other reason why Saudi Arabia is quite keen to collaborate with Malaysia. They have an eye toward the future, and they want to deepen relations with the countries that they believe can help get them there.
Salina lists down some of the benefits for Malaysia engaging in a closer diplomatic tie with Saudi Arabia.
Saudi has already committed to investing US $7 billion in the refinery in Johor. So this influx will now help spearhead this project to its completion, I think sometime in 2019. So this investment coming now at this time indicates a strong vote of confidence in the economy and its future potential. You know, Malaysia has expertise in Islamic banking services, the halal food industry. So there was a memorandum of understanding that was signed that would facilitate the exchange of expertise in these various fields. So Saudi Arabia is a natural and ready market for Malaysian companies that can leverage upon this opportunity. There are also benefits in the social and religious landscape. One, Saudi Arabia has already agreed to increase the Hajj pilgrim quota by 25% for the 2017 Hajj season. Saudis also agreed to build two Malaysian Hajj pilgrim centers in Mecca and Medina. Plus, there's also benefits from increased tourism from Saudis. The current landscape and climate in the West, particularly in the US and in some parts of Europe, is increasingly perceived as being unfavorable, even dangerous for Saudi holiday travelers. So with the deepening of the ties between the two countries, Malaysia's image as a Muslim-friendly environment, you know, Malaysia can become a much preferred holiday destination for Saudi tourists.
Aside from economic and trading relations, Salina explains that the memoranda of understanding signed are aimed to expand the cooperation between the two countries in other significant industries.
You see this in one of the memorandums that was signed, boosting cooperation in scientific and education sectors. So this is meant to pave the way for cooperation in areas of knowledge and transfer of technology. So already we see one quick result from this memoranda, the announcement that the King Salman Center for International Peace will be set up in Malaysia in collaboration with the defense ministries in Saudi Arabia and Malaysia, as well as the Islamic Science University of Malaysia. So this will facilitate cooperation in education field, which is significant. In cooperation in the field of labor and human resources. So they are planning to create a working committee between the two countries to review the kinds of skills required by both of these countries. So again, the exchange of experiences in various fields, non-oil related fields, that will boost and help the labor market in Saudi Arabia and Malaysia. There is also the memoranda they signed on fostering cooperation between the Saudi Press Agency and the National News Agency of Malaysia. So this exchange is facilitating the exchange of news between the two countries so that people in both countries will have a better understanding of each other. So the intention of this memoranda clearly is to increase the level of engagement between the two countries at a different level than merely just economic and trade investment.
Although there are clear benefits from engaging in a closer tie with Saudi Arabia, Salina believes that Prime Minister Najib Razak will not be free of criticisms for this move.
I think mostly it's a win-win situation for both countries, just because there is this closer engagement with Saudi Arabia. And to be fair, that's been ongoing, it's just been ratcheted up a notch. Doesn't mean that there will be less of a collaboration with Iran on other aspects. That's also been ongoing. So in terms of the risk when it comes to damaging political relationships with other countries, I think, you know, it's not a significant factor. But there could be potentially a political risk for Prime Minister Najib. At this point, he's reaping the political mileage from all of these trade and investment deals he's just signed with Saudi Arabia. But he could very well face the kinds of criticism from his detractors, the same way he faced criticism for signing investment deals with China. After all, you look at the Aramco Petronas deal, 50% ownership goes to Saudi Arabia. So that kind of attacks could potentially be a risk for Najib going into the upcoming election.
Some critics are wary that the increasingly close ties with Saudi Arabia may cause the rise of religious conservatism in Malaysia. Salina responds.
Yeah, some people do suggest that one of the consequences of the close ties between the two countries, particularly since the 1970s onwards, has been this spread of religious conservatism amongst Muslims. So it's not something new that is occurring. This has been something ongoing. We do see there is a renewed emphasis in ridding Muslims of superstitions, prohibiting innovations in Islam, bid'ah. We can also see how Shia Islam is viewed in Malaysia, the past and today. In 1984, the Jaafari and Zaidi Shia schools of thought was considered as legitimate for practice in Malaysia. In 1996, we see that this was reversed and Shia teachings are considered to be deviant. And these are actual fatwas that was issued by the fatwa committee at the federal level. And Wahhabism, which is predominant in Saudi Arabia, does not look upon Shia Islam favorably. So it's arguable that this is coming from Saudi influence. However, yeah, I would have to add here, though, this doesn't suggest that Saudi religious influence is all pervasive in Malaysia. In fact, the National Fatwa Council stated in 2015 that Wahhabism is not a practice that is suitable for Malaysia.
On that note, Salina comments on the current reputation of Malaysia as a model for moderate Muslim countries.
Well, I think there are multiple factors here. It's not only the close ties with Saudi Arabia. That's just one factor. There are multiple things going on domestically that is leading towards religious conservatism that is being expressed in a non-moderate fashion. For example, the push towards hudud implementation. But I'm not sure that we can relate it all to Saudi religious influence. That's just one factor. There is, of course, politicization of religion in this country that's been going on for decades already. So even though in recent times there is this sectarian conflict, really the underlying factors are political.
This is a report by Emery Zainal. I am Azlin Balkis for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.